Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. The Grizzlies got a split over the weekend. Not the split that we thought was going to happen, but we'll talk about those two games on today's show, as well as in our third segment of the show, our Monday mailbag, like we do every single week. All that and more on today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the show. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies got the split over the weekend. They lose to the Kings on Friday, but somehow beat the Lakers on Saturday night. We're going to talk about those two games today, Monday mailbag in our third segment of this show as well, so stay tuned for that. Before we get started, though, make sure you go subscribe to this podcast and whatever podcast platform that you're using so you don't miss an episode every single day. A little news and notes for the later shows in the week. I will be out of town because I will be out of town with my job. Kind of this is one of my busier weeks of my entire year this week. So I'll be out of town starting Wednesday. So Sean Coleman, senior writer from Grizzly Bear Blues, he'll be guest hosting this show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. So you guys stay tuned for that. Sean's a great host. He does a great job when I'm gone out of town usually. So I hope you guys tune in for those episodes. Again, he's really good. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can hear his episodes as well. We'll be back tomorrow like our normal Tuesday episode with Amari Sankofa as well. So don't worry about that. I believe that Sean Coleman has Joe Mullenix from Grizzly Bear Blues as a normal guest as well. So nothing much has changed other than our guest hosts for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But now that that's out of the way, let's talk about the Grizzlies-Kings matchup from Friday night. This is, I said this on the show before that I think De'Aaron Fox is probably one of Ja Morant's most difficult players to play against. And I think it's because, you know, you see a lot of himself in the mirror on De'Aaron Fox. And I think that's probably largely true. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has smoked Ja Morant and pretty much every sense of the word, every matchup, I think, throughout this year so far. So, De'Aaron Fox had another really good game, 3 for 6 from three, 25 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. I mean, just overall really good game from De'Aaron Fox. But De'Aaron Fox, like, I know that we talk about Ja Morant having a tough time against De'Aaron Fox, and it's mainly because of his quickness. But, like, everybody has a tough time against De'Aaron Fox. That's nothing new. So it's really impressive for De'Aaron Fox to play that well against Ja Morant. And so I like De'Aaron Fox. He's one of my favorite point guards. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA right now. He's just really exciting to watch. And so, but the big thing about this game is the Grizzlies got off to a good start. You know, they got off to a start that, you know, we have seen in the past. The Grizzlies played well this game. I know it's a loss. I know that this is a loss that you really needed to win. Both these Kings games a week apart, basically, are games that you really needed to win. But the Kings have been playing quite well lately. So, like, I know that their record says they're a bad team, but in terms of how they're playing over the past couple weeks, they've been playing really, really well. But the Grizzlies got off on a better start. They were really intent on getting Jonas Valanciunas going, but Jonas Valanciunas did a good job of, you know, rebounding the ball, getting easy buckets, something that we really haven't seen over the road trip. Jonas Valanciunas really wasn't involved And Jonas Valanciunas, you don't have to call plays for him, and that's not who he should be on this team. You shouldn't be calling plays for Jonas Valanciunas. He's a guy that should be able to get offensive rebounds, clean up the basket, get extra points that way, but also just be there for when John Morant drives and draws four players. It's an easy drop off. We saw that a lot over the two games of the weekend. Just a lot of drives from John Morant, easy drop offs. That's what you want from John Morant and Jonas Valanciunas. There doesn't have to be this, like, it's not a two-man game in the sense of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas together. That's not the sense of the two-man game for John Morant and Jonas Valanciunas. That's not who they are. But they can still be good together in different ways. And I think we saw that against the Kings. Again, they started out to a very, very good start. That's really, like, that's the point. You know, like, that's been the struggle for the past four or five games, is just the Grizzlies have not come out, and they get out to these 18-point leads, which is, we talked about this, is just difficult to come back. It's, you just can't do it. And so we saw they were able to get back on the right side of things in terms of getting out early. Now, they just couldn't complete, you know, the small comeback they needed to get at the end of the night. And that's okay. Like, because if you look at this game, if you had gone, you know, 1-3 on that road trip, and if you beat the Kings, or if somehow you went 2-4 on that road trip or whatever, and then you come out and you play this type of game, it's really not that big a deal. Like, it's, you look at it and you go, oh, well, that's, you know, you played good, you know, it was a good game. You played well. You know, John Morant played well. He had 20 points, 11 assists, you know, hit one from three. Like, all is good. You just lost that game. And that's how you would view it if you were, you know, if you had won one of those games or two of those games on that road trip. But since you lost a bunch, then it's like, oh my gosh, why they lost another one? But it's really not like that at all, because they played a good game and they just couldn't win that game. And you kind of take those. Like, those are going to come from young teams, and especially young teams who are missing two of their best players, and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark. And, you know, so I thought it was perfectly fine. I thought it was interesting that Taylor Jenkins shortened the rotation to just eight players. John Conchar and Yuta Watanabe got in the game, but they played 4 minutes apiece. Didn't really play much at all. But they really shortened the rotation. Dylan Brooks, though, was the biggest thing for me. Dylan Brooks, like, he got back on track. I mean, he's 3-for-7 from three, huge threes, 32 points, two rebounds, an assist, but it's all about his scoring. He was 12-for-22. Like, he got back on track, scored the basketball, and just, you know, looked really, really good doing it. Looked confident again. Looked like he was having fun again. And so that's really what you would expect for it. I also played 39 minutes. I mean, that's a lot of minutes for Dylan Brooks. John Morant played 35. Kyle Anderson played 33. Jonas Valanciunas played 32. Like I mentioned, Taylor really shortened the rotation, which is what I was wanting him to do all along. I don't need you to Watanabe playing. I just don't. I don't think it's going to help you at all. I don't need John Conchar playing. I don't need Jordan Bell playing. And I don't need any of those guys playing, because it's not going to help you in the long run. It's not going to help you win games. So it was good to see him shorten the rotation, just down even eight players, and you know, really get those guys who are going to have the best shot at winning you the game in and playing. If that means they play 39 minutes for Dylan Brooks over the next week while we wait on Jaren Jackson Jr. to get back, that means he plays 39 minutes. That's just what it is. You know, you cannot, you got to have wins. You cannot have, you know, risk not winning basketball games over the next few weeks at the expense of playing Yuta Watanabe. I'm sorry, but Yuta Watanabe is just not an NBA player. It's just the reality of the situation. And so you got to play your best players. If that means they got to play more minutes, they just got to play more minutes. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about that Lakers game on Saturday. And then again, remember, in our third segment, we'll have our Monday mailbag. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies Lakers on our weekend roundup. It is exactly what the Grizzlies would do, coming out and just handling the Lakers after losing to the Kings, because that's just a Grizzlies thing to do. But the Grizzlies played fantastic. John Morant was absolutely amazing. 27 points, 14 assists. I mean, I think that's one of his best games of the season, honestly. Like, just didn't. And he tried to end Anthony Davis, which, again, king of missed dunks, John Morant. I'm waiting for one day for this dunk that he has tried so much and so hard over the year to go in. I really hope it does, like at the end of the year, like in a playoff game or something, because that would be like just so sweet if Ja Morant finally ended someone and postered someone so bad, like he's been trying to do Anthony Davis and Kevin Love. if he did it like in a playoff game on national TV, that would be so sweet for John Morant to have just a finally got it. And guess what? Everybody in the world saw it. So that would be really cool. But John Morant played fantastic. Again, Jonas Valanciunas played fantastic. Rebound the ball extremely well. I believe he had like the most rebounds in a two-game span, back-to-back span, I think with 45. I believe that the PR team said that was Zebo had held that previously, and now he does. So that's really cool. He had 20 rebounds in this game, 25 in the last game, but 20 rebounds, 22 points. I mean, you can't ask him to do much more than that, guys. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas is not good at defense. We've said that on the show time and time again. He struggles mightily. There are things you have to do to hide him. There are things you have to do. They need to change the coverage of what he does on defense. It doesn't work. But what Jonas Valanciunas does extremely well is rebound the ball because, A, he never gives up. He never leaves the rim. So he's always there, which is fine. But rebounding the ball and putting them back for offense, rebounds, second chance points, like that's who Jonas Valanciunas is, and that's who he needs to be on this team. And I thought it was fantastic to see the Grizzlies get back to that and utilize him in the correct way, which they have been a lot of times this year. Just for whatever reason, that 4-game road trip, they just didn't really get him working, or you know, he had a lot of, you know, chippies that he missed. He had a lot of shots he just didn't make. So it really looked like Dylan Brooks and Jonas Valanciunas, two guys that we talked about on this show last week when we broke down what was wrong with the offense, you know, boiled down to three of your starters just aren't playing that well. And Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, and Jonas Valanciunas. You get Dylan Brooks and you get Jonas Valanciunas playing like they have been all year long. You get them back on the right side of things. And that leads to good things. I mean, honestly, that's just, you have two of your starters playing well again. That's just really, you know, that road trip, they weren't playing great. And so the Grizzlies weren't playing that great, especially when you have Dylan Brooks and Brandon Clark not playing. So I thought it was really good for those guys to see them guys get back on track again. You need them every game. I know that, again, we talk about Jonas Valanciunas' defense, but you need that rebounding every game. He's the best rebounder on the team, hands down, not even close. And you got to have him every single game be around the rim. And just like we talked about in the previous segment, when John Morant's driving and that space gets tight, he's there for that little dump-off pass. We saw it several times of the weekend, a lot of times of the weekend, for easy assists to John Morant, or for John Morant, and easy buckets for Jonas Valanciunas. That's just part of what you need to do in terms of playing, you know, better teams. You obviously have to be better. You have to take advantage of the things that you're good at. And those are the things that the Grizzlies are good at. Playing fast, which we saw several times, a lot throughout the weekend, playing fast, playing up-tempo, but also getting interior buckets. That's what the Grizzlies are, the number one team in the league at getting interior buckets. And that's what we saw over the weekend, was getting interior buckets. The other big thing over the weekend was assists. We saw our assists go back up a little bit, tick up in the Kings game, tick up in the Lakers game. Ball movement was crisper. Like there were several possessions where the ball movement was just all over the place, going left to right and side to side, and then getting downhill into the paint. And that's what the Grizzlies are good at. And that's what has made them so good over the month of January, December. Those months that we talk about how they had one of the best records in the NBA, that's what's made them so good. And so they did that really, really well over the weekend. So it's good to see them get back on track. And again, it coincides with Dylan Brooks playing really well, coincides with Jonas Valanciunas playing well. And again, your rookie superstar, John Morant, playing well. He had two really, really good games over the weekend. If the Grizzlies want to continue to have good games over the next few weeks, which they have over the next, I think, 7 or 8 games, they have teams that are below 500 records, and those are the games you have to win. There are two games coming up against Portland, two games coming up against New Orleans that you got to win. Those are the games, like, those are going to be tiebreakers. So you have to have Ja Morant play exceptional in those games if you want to win. And hopefully when you get Jaren Jackson Jr. back and Brandon Clark back, that's great. But you can't worry about that. You know, Ja Morant's got to be outstanding in those games for the Grizzlies to even have a chance or sniff a chance at winning those games. And those games are super important because, again, those guys are right behind you in the playoff race in New Orleans and in Portland. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We will do our Monday mailbag segment in the last segment of the show. Welcome back to the show, talking Monday mailbag like we do every single week on the third segment on the Monday show. If you even get your questions in, make sure you get your questions in next week. You can reply to a tweet I usually put out on Sunday asking for questions, and on my handle at King_producer, or on the show handle at LockedOnGrizz. Reply to that tweet, or you can DM me in either of those accounts. DMs are open. If you have, or you're just watching the game throughout the week, just DM me that question and I'll save it for the next Monday mailbag. Let's get to it. The first question comes from Josh John Naisiff. I think I said that right. If I didn't, I apologize. What is our best guess on whether or not Josh Jackson will be a Grizzly moving forward? If so, how much are you willing to spend on him? You know, it's hard to tell. You know, Josh Jackson has played really well over the past few weeks in terms of what he's doing for the Grizzlies. You know, he's not asked to score the basketball a lot, which is really not, you know, that's not his best attribute. He can do that, but that's really not his best attribute. He's really, really good in transition. And so it really, you know, his style of play fits the Grizzlies. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Jackson back. You know, it would have to be on a much smaller contract. Obviously, as he's making $7 million a year, I'd say you probably put him in like the $5 million range, $4 to $5 million, depends on, you know, what he can get in the free market. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be unrestricted free agent. So, you know, the Grizzlies didn't pick up his option, you know, so it depends on what other teams are out there are looking at Josh Jackson. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be other teams interested, not just the Grizzlies. But for me, I wouldn't spend, you know, above what he's making now. He's making $7 million right now, and I wouldn't go above that. I'd probably put him in the $4 to $5 million range, probably put in the same range as D'Anthony Melton. And so, you know, I'd like to see him back. I don't know if they want to see him back, though, in terms of, you know, him being on the court. I know he's done everything they've asked for him to do off the court. And so, you know, they're happy with what he's done in terms of getting back on the right side of things and you know, following their regimen and doing all the things they're asking him to do. He has done that and done that really well for the Grizzlies. So, you know, I tend to think they'd like to have him back as well. But again, it just really all depends on what the market is out there for Josh Jackson. There's another team offering him $8 million a year. The Grizzlies just aren't going to do that. They can't do that. You know, they don't have all that much flexibility. So it really depends on what other people out there are offering, Josh Jackson. If you can get him for cheap, I would definitely get him for cheap. Stevie Wonder asked max contract for John Conchar. John Conchar was actually, you know, he was good in that small stretch in the first half of the Lakers game. But, I think you're right. Let's max him out. No, I'm just kidding. You know, John Conchar, and I know this is sarcastic. I understand that. So, but John Conchar did play well. We didn't mention that in the second segment, but he did play well in his short minutes. But again, you know, Yuta Watanabe, 12 minutes, John Conchar, 12 minutes, Marco Gudurch, those are minutes at the end of the game. But, you know, some of those minutes are at the end of the game for John Conchar and Yuta, but he did play in the first half. And I just, you know, I'm not sure what the deal is there, but, you know, he doesn't need to have that many minutes. Let's just be honest. Next question comes from at Storm Krauts, Timothy Sykes on Twitter. What was Jenkins thinking with Yuta, Josh, and Conchar lineup Friday night? I thought that was the main reason we lost. You know, the Yuta and the John and stuff early in the first half, you know, I think that it was, you know, they only played 4 minutes. So, you know, it's not the reason we lost for, you know, that's just not it. I mean, they should never played, in my opinion. But it seems like, Taylor's just trying to get some extra rest. And like, that's the only way he can do it right now, because lots of your players are hurt. Justice is hurt. Jared Jackson is hurt. Brandon Clark is hurt. So like, that's the only way you can do it right now, is just to play guys that quite frankly shouldn't be playing, but it gives you 4 minutes of rest, which doesn't sound like a lot, but an NBA game, trust me, it is a lot. It is a long time. It's a lot of times where you see, you know, you saw it last night in the New Orleans game. They rested LeBron James for like 2 minutes. It wasn't that long at all, but it was just enough to get him like just to be out of the court, just to catch his breath, like just for that last push. And so this is happening in the first half. That's my assumption. I don't know. I haven't asked Taylor that. I haven't had a chance to ask Taylor that. And so that would be my assumption, that you know, that they're just trying to find rest for guys when you know he doesn't like to play eight guys. You know, he doesn't like to play guys 39 minutes. Clearly he doesn't like to play guys that many minutes, but and it's just really about finding rest for other guys in your rotation. Like, how do you do that and still be able to keep them fresh at the end of the game? Well, the answer is play John Conchar and Yuta Watanabe for a few minutes. And so, I think that's probably the thinking behind it. Again, I don't know for sure, but that's what I would assume. And again, that's not the reason they lost. They lost it just because De'Aaron Fox was really good at the end of that game. They couldn't stop him. That's why they lost, honestly. Like, that's just what it is. But it was good to see, you know, them playing. That's great that they get some minutes. But, you know, for me, I would just, you know, I understand what he's trying to do, but for me, I would play them none and push, you know, push Dylan and Kyles and Jonas and DeAnthony's and Tyus and push all their minutes higher. That's what I would do. You know, start with Tyus and Gorgie and give those guys more minutes. Josh, I would give him more minutes, you know. So I would have 8-man rotation and those guys, Yuta and John and Marco, probably would never play if it were up to me. Next question comes from Derek. Chances Grizzlies maintain this lead and finish the regular season in the 8th season. Are rookie of the year odds for John Morant? There's a lot of other questions in here, but I'll take those two. You know, I think the chances are good. You know, the Grizzlies have their kind of have their control of their own destiny in their hands. They play Portland twice, they play New Orleans twice. Those two things are the biggest things on the rest of the schedule. So they can go and beat those two teams twice each, and not only can they, you know, have a tiebreaker or against those teams, but they can also put distance in those teams directly. You don't have to worry about rely on the Lakers beating New Orleans or rely on someone else beating the Portland Trail Blazers. You can go out and do it yourself. And so that's the biggest thing about the final stretch of the season, is they kind of have a little bit of control of their own destiny here, is that they have a cushion, and at the same time, they can also beat those teams and push that cushion higher as well. So this next stretch of games, over the next 8 or 9 games, they have a lot of teams that are not, you know, not good. They have a lot of teams that are very, very winnable games, very beatable teams. And so this next stretch of the next couple weeks is going to be huge for the Grizzlies, starting with the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to play the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Going to be huge. Should be a game you win. Those type of the games that you have to win, because after that, it's going to be difficult to pick out wins in a final stretch of the Grizzlies' schedule. So, and the odds for Rookie of the Year for John Morant, if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year and continues to play like he is, it will be a complete joke and complete setup by the NBA, because there's just no way that John Morant goes and wins Rookie of the Month, 90% of the time or 85% of the time, and then Zion wins the game. I get Zion. He's good. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I get it. But, you know, you can't come back and play 15 games and win Rookie of the Year. It's just not how it works. John Morant's done it over the course of the entire year. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, make sure you guys tune in over throughout the week. Sean Coleman I'll be our guest host Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Marius and Cuff will be back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes throughout the week.